Uneven vaccination makes for uneven recovery. From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. The world's economies are in very different places, and so central banks are too. China is well into its recovery, but its growth is stalling now, so its central bank is putting the foot on the gas and lowering rates. Europe's recovery is getting going, and its central bank is about to announce changes in how it's managing that economy. Meanwhile, here in the U.S., we are watching for inflation, and the Fed is thinking about when it might have to slow the recovery down, maybe in a couple years. Jay Powell is, in fact, going to testify before Congress in his semi-annual monetary policy review this week. Julia Coronado is founder of Macro Policy Perspectives and joins us to talk about it. Good morning.
Good morning.
So Chair Powell's going before Congress this week. What does everyone want to know or hear from him?
Well, I think he's going to give a very good report card on the U.S. economy. We are growing very rapidly and recovering quickly. There are challenges associated with that in terms of supply chain bottlenecks and some price pops and some labor supply issues. But I think he's going to strike a very optimistic tone that we're going to work through those in the months ahead and have a very good performance this year.
It is earnings season. Banks are up first, I believe. What are our expectations and how important is it that they be met this earnings season?
Well, expectations are optimistic and, you know, companies tend to manage these things well, so they'll probably beat those optimistic expectations. Fiscal stimulus helps not just people, but the companies at which they spend their money. So earnings should be very strong along with the strong GDP and consumer spending we're seeing. The bigger question is what happens next year once that stimulus fades through the pipeline.
Julia Coronado, founder of Macro Policy Perspectives, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
This weekend, finance leaders from the Group of 20, the largest economies in the world, backed a proposal for a global corporate minimum tax of at least 15%. This is Joe Biden's big plan. The point is to make it harder for companies to avoid taxes. Marketplace's Mariel Seguera has been following this. Hi, Mariel.
Hey, Sabri.
So this plan has been in the works for a while. What did the G20 actually decide this weekend?
Yeah, there's been talk about a global corporate minimum tax for years, but earlier this month, 130 countries issued a joint statement that backed the idea. And then this weekend, the economies in the G20, which includes the US, of course, China, the European Union, India, and others, came to a more formal agreement. But there is still a lot left to figure out.
Yeah, what is still left to figure out?
There are details countries don't agree on. Also, several low-tax countries, specifically Ireland, Hungary, and Estonia, are saying, you know, we don't want to do this. We're never going to sign on because they attract a lot of foreign investment by having low taxes. And if a lot of countries don't agree to the plan, it doesn't have teeth because companies would still be able to find plenty of tax havens. Also, the plan will have to pass the legislatures in countries that do sign on. And in the U.S., some Republicans in Congress have already said they're not in favor of it.
So what happens next?
Well, today, Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen is in Brussels trying to convince the EU, where if even one country doesn't agree, there's no deal. And the G20 is supposed to make a final decision in October when it meets again in Rome. But it could take years before the laws enacting this actually go into effect.
All right. Marketplace's Mariel Seguera, thank you so much.
Thank you.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
A big student loan servicer is calling it quits. Fed Loan Servicing, formerly the Pennsylvania Higher Education Assistance Agency, services student loans for about 8.5 million student loan borrowers. That's about 20% of all federal student loans. The company said it was not going to renew its contract with the federal government to service those loans anymore. Marketplace's Andy Euler reports on what that means for the borrowers who will soon have a new servicer.
Fed Loan is the only company that services loans for the Public Service Loan Forgiveness Program, or PSLF. That program lets borrowers who work in public service or for a nonprofit get a certain portion of their loans canceled. Betsy Mayotte is president of the Institute of Student Loan Advisors. She says there's one question the Department of Education has got to answer pretty quickly.
Is the department going to designate another PSLF servicer, or are they just going to spread it out amongst multiple servicers?
The timing of this announcement is also not ideal. Millions of borrowers aren't making payments right now because of a pause put in place due to the pandemic. Seth Frotman, executive director of the Student Borrower Protection Center, says all borrowers, regardless of their servicer, need to take steps to protect themselves as payment processing is ramped back up.
Requesting a copy of their payment history, downloading whatever they can from their account, and making sure that their contact information is up to date.
Fed Loan's current contract will expire December 14th. The pause on student loan payments and interest could expire as soon as September 30th. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
Before we go, here is a note on the value of nostalgia. We can put a number on it. $1.56 million. That is how much an unopened Nintendo Super Mario 64 fetched at an auction over the weekend. The 1996 edition is now the record holder for the highest price paid for a single video game. I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.